Welcome to the Voice of the Agent podcast. I am delighted today to be joined by Victoria Lambden, who is the business development lead of Glewdog. Welcome to the Voice of the Agent, Victoria.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
I'm really glad we got to arrange this one. I'm really looking forward to talking to you because I liked what you presented at the Voice of the Agent conference. But first, we'll get into all of that. Who is Victoria Lambden of Glewdog?
Well, there's a big question. Going back a bit, 20 years as an agent myself, yeah. 6 years running my own business. So I feel the pain that agents have been through.
An agency business.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Sales. I didn't have the patience for lettings. I think you have to have the patience of a saint to be in lettings. I'm a mum. I've got three children, two of my own and my stepdaughter. And when I'm not working, you'll find me treading the boards on stage.
Yes, I hear you like a bit of dram.
Love it.
Are you a singer, a dancer, a performer, all of the above?
And it depends on who you speak to. I will say I'm a dancer.
Okay.
My friends will say I'm a triple threat.
But I almost feel we need a property industry troupe because there's quite a few thespes out there, I think.
Yes.
I think, you know, Michael Day needs to lead with Toby Martin, needs to like the band creation. But I think, you know, with Tom Gilbert, yourself, I was a bit of an am drama in the days, in my day.
Emma Redley.
I think we're forming a troupe.
There's a whole like musical production waiting to happen.
Put a pin in that idea because I might have a suggestion for Christmas. Anyway, hold that thought. We're not going any further down that line. This is a serious question about the power.
Serious business.
Why did you join the dark force of prop tech?
Oh no, it's not dark force. It's the bright side. It's lovely.
When was that? When did you join Glewdog?
April 24.
Okay.
Yes.
A couple of years.
Just trying to get my years right. April 24, I joined. It's a breath of fresh air coming to the prop tech side. Having had my own business and working sort of 24/7, it's exhausting when you've got little ones. You know, my youngest two are 4 and 8, nearly 5 and 8. And I was commuting up to an hour a day both ways. Now I'm 10 minutes from home. I work Monday to Friday, generally speaking, a bit more of a 9 to 5 or 8:30, 4:30 kind of girl now. And it's lovely. Yes, I still work out of hours. I'm still on LinkedIn at all hours. I can't help myself, but I don't have to do that. I choose to do that.
But now with Glewdog, and we'll get into this, you actually help agencies and agents be more effective and hopefully work within the hours they're supposed to work. Because it's really funny, I'm not from the industry originally. I've never been an agent. But my friends find it hilarious how native I've become and how much of a fierce advocate and defender I am of the industry. It's a harder job than you think.
Until you've been an agent, you don't genuinely understand the pain.
Nothing but respect. I mean, the old joke about why grandchildren and grandparents like each other so much. You've got the enemy in common, which is the parents. I think why, you know, there's something about that, about landlords and tenants and letting agents. There's a joke in there somewhere, but we won't get distracted by that.
I always remember seeing a cushion saying, if I knew how much fun grandchildren were, I would have had them first.
Fill them for the sugar and give them back.
Yeah.
No! Anyway, we must focus because we've got an hour, and otherwise it could take 2 hours. This could otherwise is. So you led with a session at the Voice of the Agent conference back at Bletchley Park in November 2025. Yes. And you actually came on with quite a different presentation that was kind of like maybe reframed some people's assumptions. So you coming from prop tech, you challenged the idea that growth is a function of more activity and more tech. And with that traffic light system, you positioned about throughput and removing friction in the system. What was the moment inside that kind of led you to that model rather than the just need more tech, more work, more throughput, more, actually clear the decks? Where did that come from?
I think it's from, I guess, having been in the industry a long time and seen some really good agents, kind of, they're almost burning themselves out. They're doing everything right on paper. You know, if you were looking at it with a tick box exercise, you know, they were adding portals, they're adding tools, they're improving their possibilities, but the output wasn't improving to the same scale. You know, seeing, how can I put it? Seeing they were kept taking on more tools, more pieces of prop tech, but they weren't streamlining everything. They were still having to double key everything. They're still having to, you know, they've got their CRM over here. They're taking on this system to sort out the AML. They're taking on this system to sort out tenant referencing and so on and so forth. But there were still inefficiencies. There was still the inability to create those streamlined systems and processes. So you've kind of got the idea of improving and growing that business, but actually the output wasn't there. And this is kind of where, if you can take away the unnecessary part of the necessary admin, then actually you can improve the amount of time people have, you can improve the morale that they have, and therefore improve the overall efficiency and improve the morale, and just everything will then take off. And I don't know if you've ever read it, but there's a book called The One Thing.
It's on a shelf behind me.
It's on my audio. I've got the book. I love it. But having that ability to just focus on one thing and it fly off the shelf because you put all your focus into it rather than trying to balance all these different plates, it makes such a difference. And I
That
think
that's a Gary Keller book
Gary,
of the Red Book fame. Is it Ray Papasan or Jay Papasan? Who's his co-author? There's another great book which I think came when I used to work at Keller Williams. Another book they recommend. It's called Deep Work by Cal Newport. And that was about that kind of if you focus on one thing and getting really deep into it, you get into your flow. And these constant, I mean, you know, I joke, well, I'm a member of a group that Toby Martin runs, which is the Camera Kings and Queens, where we practice videoing and all that kind of stuff. Video is so important. And I said that my one focus this year was to be focused and not be distracted all the time. Ended up in a long conversation on WhatsApp about exactly that subject. And it's like, I've just wasted 45 minutes of my life debating not being distracted. I've doom scrolled for 2 hours and I've not achieved my. Yes. And we live in a world. I mean, what is it? I mean, Simon Well talks about the, you know, 840, 900 prop techs out there. I mean, there's so much out there, which kind of lends itself to the next question is Glue Dog, where you now work, is known as the integration hub that connects suppliers into agent CRMs to eliminate all that manual duplication and streamline workflows, removing the red light stuff, basically. And in the voice of the agent, we consistently find the number one issue with prop tech is the lack of integration and single sign-on. So, in your view, as an expert in this area, why has integration become such a strategic priority for agencies today? Rather than something that, you know, just bolt it together and wait until later.
I guess later it has quietly become never. You know, it's always that rainy day type thing. And I think integrations generally are have always been for the big groups, those that can afford to pay for the tech to be built. And now that integrations are becoming the norm, a bit like taking it completely away from tech, but a bit like, you know, power-assisted steering in cars or electric windows in cars, they're not a luxury anymore, they're the norm. You kind of expect them, you know, all the new build houses will have double glazing, they will have central heating of some sort. You know, it's making that transition from it being a luxury to the norm. And if you can just reduce that friction so that when you're doing, and I have to say, with Glue Dog, I'm very envious of agents who have the ability to have Glue Dog, because I had to have the pain of applicant cards and spreadsheets and having a CRM that changed on multiple occasions and this tool and that tool and having to duplicate things. Yes, we're not quite there for the whole industry just yet, but we are getting there quite quickly. And having the ability to, order a board, put notes in if you want a V board or whatever it might be, and then press order. That's all you have to do to order a board. And then everything is automated from that moment on, unless you tell it not to be.
I
So
was
these.
with some, sorry.
No, go on.
I was with someone yesterday. We were talking about this, and I think where a lot of tech gets it wrong, it's very clever, but they've not thought of what, the user interface or the user experience. And actually, oh, you just need to pat your head while rubbing your tummy, while doing that with your legs, and pull that lever while pressing control. And oh, just know a little bit of SQL, you'll be fine. It's like, whoa, hold on,
Exactly.
and. Oh, and by the way, there's 10 of these systems you need to learn.
Well, me and Mark always joke about this because I think I said, we need a button. And if I said we need a button, I must have said it 1,000 times in probably the first 3 weeks of working with him. And he was like, I get it. Agents want buttons. And I'm like, we like buttons. I want to order something and confirm the order. That's all I want to do. You've got to have the two steps so that you don't order something that you're not meant to order. You need that yes and yes. Done. Happy with that. But I don't want to be typing anything out unless it is bespoke for that client or bespoke for that task. I don't want to be doing anything like that. It's what I call the unnecessary necessary admin. The
Yes.
necessary admin, you need to be compliant, you need to order boards, you need to do the property marketing. But the unnecessary bit is typing out the address 16 times to get it listed. You don't want to be doing that.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, I'm a huge fan of tech. I'm a real technophile. It just surprises me that more money isn't put into the whole user experience and user groups and going,
But
and
that's the
it's
difference.
less painful for people.
I think a lot of tech, especially older tech, was built by techie people. And they're brilliant. How their minds work is beyond my capabilities. But how users want to use it has to be incredibly simple for A, to get adopted by not just senior management, but the entire team. Because unless the entire team is behind it's not going to get adopted properly. And I was speaking to one of the directors of one of the CRMs, and he said, on average, the average user that they have uses less than 50% of their CRM's capabilities.
And that data comes loud from people like even the big players like Salesforce and HubSpot. They record how bad. So I'm just looking at trying to find a, was a great quote from the research from the Voice of the Age. I'm trying to find the quote. It lends to exactly it is. Simon Whale responded, "No," to me when I said the quote. But it's like prop tech is at its best when it disappears into the background.
Yeah,
And
exactly that.
that's the key thing. And it's almost like, you never notice good signage. You only ever notice bad signage because good signage just works and it tells you where to go. It's why the underground in London is so amazing. You go to some other countries and you're like, what the hell is this all about? I mean, I just follow the red line, don't I? super
But there's
simple.
16 red lines. Which one am I chasing?
Which shade of red is that? Is that crimson red or is
Christmas red,
that a.
crimson, burgundy.
So, what was interesting about your presentation, which is the whole traffic light thing, is you talked a lot about humans. So, you speak quite a bit about emotional intelligence required in prop tech leadership and campaigns that make tech feel more human and functional, kind of what we're talking about now. How do you balance the emotional, the operation, if you're talking about a solution to a busy team? Because there's kind of like a, I just want it to work tech kind of mentality versus actually. This tech can amplify the good and the bad.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of a little bit to do with the training as well. the whole point of tech is that it should make the human more efficient, but it's only going to do that if they have been trained on it properly and it's adopted. If you can get both of those things ticked off the list, the team's going to be flying. And if the team is flying, you've then got that morale, you've got that brand ambassador, you've got that me skipping around the conference hall saying, I love working for Glewdog. You know, it's that whole emotional side of things can sometimes be shadowed because of a simple thing that somebody just hasn't been taught. You know, it's that old saying of you don't know what you don't know.
Absolutely.
So if you have been thrown in the deep end, which a lot of agents are, and it's a great way to learn, trust me, I've been there, I've done that, but you still need that mentor, that guidance to make sure that you are, oh, just, you know, steer over to the right a little bit and off you go. And then you're flying. But it is having that ability to know when to stop, when to sidetrack, when to move on. And if you've got that guidance, it's amazing. But busy agency teams can, you know, they're under pressure, they're interrupted constantly, and judged on responsiveness. So when we design solutions, we want to know, you know, what's going to remove the frustration, what is going to give them a sense of control rather than another thing to manage.
I mean, it sounds like, and there was this question is, do you think this skill set of the emotional human, the good salesperson, the good who reads the room, they navigate relationships, the great negotiators, and the tech expert, what albeit the UX can be amazing, the GUIs can be brilliant, blah blah blah, and the Glewdog integration can be amazing. But the brain that can process data and understand data in that way, and the person who can understand people, can coexist exist in the same person, or do most agencies really need to be having the two types within that organization? Someone who's sort of running the back end technical side of it, and then the agent who's just got a WhatsApp interface into their CRM system. And I wasn't preparing you for that question at all,
No,
so
you weren't. You've thrown that
sorry.
one.
Sorry, that
That's
was a
a
complete
sideswipe. No,
curveball.
it's
You
fine. It's
inspired me,
fine.
Victoria, that's why.
No, I think it's going to be a generational thing because I went to an event last year and the year before, and the year before were the agency owners that have been in the industry 40 plus years and weren't really engaged in talking to the exhibitors. But this year, it was a whole younger generation, maybe they're new franchisees, maybe they've sort of fallen into property. Either way, they were hungry for tech. So I think because they've grown up with tech, you know, I was probably just about sort of on the verge of that sort of generation where, you know, I grew up, you know, I had to do all my GCSE coursework on computers, otherwise I was going to be downgraded for handwriting it, for example. You know, it was all about presentation, and that, you know, is something that has only got more and more important in schools. You know, my stepdaughter was coding. I was like, sorry, what do you want about coding? I still don't have a clue. It just looks like the Matrix to me. But I think it's a little bit of a different age now, where I think agents will be a bit of both. And don't get me wrong, I don't profess to be techie, but I used to do a lot of the tech training, ironically.
Well, you're the best person. The worst person to train someone with how to use tech is the person who understands it so well, they make assumptions.
And often use a lot of jargon.
Like, exactly. Whereas, you know, as long as you know how to use it, but also you know how to use it as a lay person, you can explain it to another. I used to work for a sports charity, and the last people to educate the great unfit are sports people. Because instantly they're not talking the same language. Because if you're inspired to get up in the morning and go, I mean, there's love Cindy Slaughter to bit. She's an amazing marketer in our industry. 1st of January, out in a sea, minus whatever, she's mentally unstable in the nicest possible way, mentally
Definitely.
unstable. She is the last person, as brilliant as she does, everything she does, to persuade other people to get fit because she's already got the bug. I can talk data until I'm blue in the face. I'm probably not the best person to be an advocate for the use of data because I get very messianic about it in evangelical, and that can put other people off. You almost want the skeptical convert. So the person who's come into it is the right person. So actually, we always talk about the people who you, if you can get the laggards or the refuseniks to buy in, they'll be your best advocates.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think because I've been through the pain of what agents are facing, it does help when I'm, doing demos and talking to agents. They're like, what else does it do? What else can we connect? And it's exciting. Very, very exciting. And I do get a bit passionate about it. Can't help it. I'm a passionate person, but it's a great time from an agent's point of view to be alive and be an agent.
Which kind of sort of, yeah, I think you've really put your finger on something there with the generational shift. I mean, I'm very much a digital immigrant. There was one computer in my first office, and we had to book time to use it. I remember my first job in London, we had green screens that we ran data overnight. Stuff that I can do on my laptop in 20 minutes or 10 minutes now, I'd have to, and if I got the code wrong, I had to redo it all again. It would take another 7 hours to do it. So that's kind of. However, we live in a world of a lot of prop tech, a lot of tech, and too much technology can create complexity rather than clarity. Do you think we have prop tech overload? And what practical steps do you think people can take, apart from obviously using Glue, to bring them back to a manageable, efficient stack? I've got 56 prop tech. What do I do?
I think it's very when agents can't list the prop tech that they use, that's normally a red light for me, because either they're not using enough and they're going and they're only on two, or they've got too many and they're kind of going and it's just too much. They can't possibly be using all of that tech all the way it should be done. And I think if they can review each one step by step, what does my CRM do? Does it give me the single source of truth that I'm looking for? Okay, yes, it does. Yes, we've trained the team up on it. They've had refresher training. That's fine. Then they can look at the other pieces of prop tech and review each one individually. What does it do in its entirety? When they do that, then they'll start to see crossovers. Well, okay, well, actually, we're paying for three, but actually, we only need these two.
Yes.
Nice. And then so on and so forth. And you can reduce it right back, but also it's looking at it from a do we actually need it? It's a bit like when my husband goes in the sales and he's like, it's in the sale. I'm like, yes, but do you need it? Because it's only good value if it's in the sale and you need it.
Oh, my wife regularly tells me she saved money on something she's bought. And I won. No, you've not saved money. You've spent less than you would have done had it been at full price. That is not the same definition as saving money. Saving money is not to have spent the money in the first place. But I mean, God, a shout out to Vinted. They're amazing.
I love Vinted.
Vinted's just, I mean, oh, free promo for Vinted. Deary me. Some of the stuff she's getting, I'm like, I'm going on Vinted now. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Oh, it's brilliant. Absolutely. I've bought some beautiful dresses on there for 1 or 2% of the original price.
This podcast is brought to you by the brilliant people at Vinted. No, it's not. No, we're not. If we mention it enough, do you think we'll get some free kit? Oh, free kit, and it's so cheap anyway. It's kind of like,
We just have a voucher.
come on, whoever the CMO of Vinted is, we'll name check you in the hashtag. I bet we'll get some free stuff out of this. what else can I say? Frazzles. There you are. Frazzles as well. There we go. No, I'll get distracted. Okay, we live in an AI age. and everyone's banging on about AI and automation with a mix of excitement and a vanishingly few now skeptics. I think people have realized this is here to stay. From where you sit, helicopter view, prop tech view, overall view, how should agency leaders be thinking about AI's role in property workflows over the next 3 to 5 years? Is this the enabler it's promised to be, or actually a big old distraction?
We need to stay away from the distractions.
Nope,
Absolutely.
I do.
We need to
I'm my
focus.
brain. Oh, squirrel.
To be fair, when you were saying AI, I was straight back at Bletchley Park with A, AI, Al, I. I.
I. Oh, who said Al? Was it
Toby, was it Toby?
it was Toby, yes.
Toby was Al and Mal was I.
I.
We've been doing this too much. Okay, so AI, I think AI is a brilliant tool. Excuse me. I think if you understand it, it can be excellent. If you train it, if you give it the right instruction, it's a marvelous thing for efficiencies, for data gathering. For reporting and giving that general overview of a business where AI, and I know a lot of agents are a little bit skeptical, they're a little bit worried about their jobs, but AI for me, the human gets the trust from the buyer, the seller, they give the they do the negotiations, they do that rapport building, they help both parties understand the terminology around the legal and everything like that. Where AI can come in is sort of keeping that trust there, being that proactive little hello, I'm here to help you. Are you okay? Do you need to speak to somebody? It's kind of that belt and braces for me. It's not the forefront. It shouldn't be at the forefront. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, I think, with Simon Wales sort of saying about it should be hidden from view. It shouldn't be at the front. It should be enabling the human to do more. It should be enabling the agents to do more so that it's not doing the trustworthy bit. It's doing the data gathering bit. It's giving you the sources to be able to empower the agents to do what they do best, which is talking to people and building trust and helping and advising.
I agree. I mean, I'm a techno-optimist anyway, generally speaking. And I fear natural stupidity more than I fear artificial intelligence, as a rule of thumb. But I think, of all the industries, I think estate agents and letting agents can celebrate the arrival of AI. I think it genuinely challenges the portals, which has been a tax on the industry throughout. I'm a big fan of the portals. Consumers love them. If this role of tech is to serve the consumer, portals knock it out of the park completely every single time. Flawed in some ways, but in reality, they're amazing. If they didn't exist, we'd have to invent them. But unlike my profession, marketing, where I think AI can actually do the vast majority of marketers' jobs better, the role, as you talk about, that human interaction of winning trust, building a relationship, negotiating, advising, they are human skills still. And I think we're still, despite the techno evangelists, I know, unless you are adding literally no value as an estate agent, as Simon Gates said on his chat with Ross Daniello of Chartwell Noble on the towpath, is some agents charge too much because they add literally no value. If you add no value, you can't take any value. But if you're the kind of agent who negotiates both sides, works both sides, understands the relationship, and critically, authentically builds trust, you've got nothing to fear from AI. AI takes away the distractions from doing the things you're good at.
Exactly.
And that's amazing. I'd say I comment in our team that we'd probably be 4 or 5 people, more people in our business without AI.
Exactly that. And I think it's the same with prop tech. The whole point of PropTech is that it streamlines everything you do, so you're not adding to your headcount and muddying the waters within the team. Because it's great to grow the team, but you need to have enough work for them to do. If the team gets too big and you haven't got that inflow of property, then they're going to be sat there twiddling their thumbs, they're fighting over one another, and it just becomes messy. Whereas if you build it and then get a bit more tech, build a bit more tech, it just equalizes everything out.
Yeah. No, I think, of industries that don't need to worry about AI, I think property and residential property is one of the ones that actually can see it as nothing but a benefit and actually will hopefully make the experience, which we know isn't that brilliant, good for the consumer, for the homeowner, which is or the landlord or the tenant. At the moment it's not a great experience. AI used properly can be an amazing boon and can enhance what you do with your PropTech as well. We kind of touch on this actually, we kind of answer this, but I'll go into it in more detail. Is agency is intensely people centric, even as technology reshapes the back office and some of the front office. But that's a line that you've got to draw. What's out there? What's kind of behind the scenes? Oh, look at this. Look at this. You do it so much better than me.
Nearly 40 years of dancing. I should be able to do something.
I won't do that again. I won't humiliate myself again. So, where do you see this intersection between human service and automation as the most critical to get line to get right? For example, AI handling of calls. Obviously, you have a job and a role that may touch on some of this, so this might be a challenge. But can I literally give all of my customer service over to AI and let automation do it all?
No. I think AI is good for that 24/7, 365. So when someone has come off a shift at 1 o'clock in the morning and they want to make an inquiry and they are going to be asleep when you're awake, they're going to be working when you're working and all this sort of thing, actually, sometimes AI has a role to play. But generally speaking, maybe I'm the wrong generation, but to me, I still want to speak to somebody. I was doing a lot, even like from a shopping point of view, I was doing a lot of it online, but actually I've got so fed up with sending everything back because it's not the right fit, it's not the right color, it's not what it's, it photographed looks different. So now I'm doing a lot more in-shop buying than online buying. And I think there is going to be that shift where people are just so fed up that actually they'd rather spend a couple of quid on parking and go in and try things on and try it on with this shoe and that and blah, blah, blah. And it's so much easier because 9 times out of 10, you have to take it back to the shop to take it back anyway. So, and I think it's the same sort of thing with agency is that there's a certain amount that can be done using AI or a piece of prop tech. But that human interaction, this is a big thing that people are selling. A big thing that the people are selling. Like financially, for a lot of people, it's the biggest asset they will ever own.
The vast majority, by the people who wear it, isn't their biggest asset, is a fraction of a fraction of the population.
Exactly. And I used to work in a market where I was dealing with a lot of second homes. And that is still an emotional purchase or an emotional let go. If they've had this second home in their family for 50 years, but they're having to sell it because it's gone through probate and they can't afford the inheritance tax on it, which some people might go, well, first world problems, but actually that's been a part of their childhood and now their children's childhood, and all of a sudden they're having to let it go because, there's a huge tax bill to pay. It's still emotional, but you need an emotional human being to be able to respond to that. You
I think,
need them to, when you've got someone crying on your shoulder, a computer is never going to replace that.
I agree. And, I think, the whole, the three Ds, death, divorce, and debt, which drives a lot of housing transactions, they're all very emotional situations. I think, as an industry, we can occasionally be a bit blasé about the fact that, these are people's hopes, dreams, love, death, birth. It's such an emotional thing, and, Even a, no, don't even, a rental home is still a home. I think
Yeah.
sometimes we even forget that. But you're
Yeah.
right, a landlord, you know, their property may be an accidental landlord. It's the home they grew up in. It might be their pension. It might be their entire future, because they haven't got any other savings or investments going on. So yeah, it's always very emotional. And I think that's why I think for anyone listening, you have to be optimistic about AI. You
Yeah.
have to be optimistic about tech because this is one of the industries that is insulated. You know, I don't think lawyers are that well insulated. I don't think even coders, as much as we should learn coding as younger people, are that because ChatGPT can do it pretty well, or Claude, or one of the others.
Don't
I
say
know,
that to Mark.
I know,
He will disagree
and my CTO will say the same. But for most people's need, you know,
Yeah.
I hate with a passion Canva because it's that meant everyone thinks they can design. Just because you can use a design tool doesn't mean you can design. Just because I can get code created with an LLM doesn't mean the code would do what a professional coder would do. I get all
No.
that. But for most people's use states, which are often
Yeah.
very minor or trivial, in reality, this tech can really help. But for an agent looking after the landlord, looking after the tenant, looking after the buyer, looking after the seller, negotiating through, keeping the relationship going, yeah, AI is not going to do that, not for a while, unless as an agent you add no value.
Well, that is the key part here, is that you have to have value, but actually, if you use AI, use prop tech. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just in property, it could be any industry for that matter. But if you use these pieces of tech, then in the right way, it makes you more efficient and frees up your time to be able to give a better customer experience, so that those customers that you are dealing with are like, oh, I can just pick up the phone and speak to Victoria. Brilliant. How many times do you hear that about agents? Oh, I've been trying to get hold of them all day, but I can't get hold of them. They're all out of the office or whatever. Whereas actually, if they don't necessarily need to be out the office all day because they've sent them a virtual tour link, so they can actually do that pre-viewing, do they actually need to then go and do an actual viewing if it's really not looking right for them on that virtual tour? Probably not.
Yeah, you know, loads of evidence in the data we see in terms of, you know, how much virtual viewings actually a really good thing because it allows to try before they buy, and the amount of time wasted on people who don't turn up or they walk up. I mean, I've been on a few estate agency visits when with a customer coming on to see a viewer, and you can tell the moment they hit the path, they don't want it.
Yeah.
Their entire body language says, I'm going to, because I'm polite and I'm British, I'm going to go through the motions, but I am going to waste 45 minutes of your time. I'm even going to think of some very intelligent questions so I don't look stupid. And I'm not buying this house.
No. And sometimes it's just you will never fully get away from that, because some people are just adamant that they have to view.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But again, if you've gone through that, if you've had the time to sit down with somebody, whether it's on the phone or face to face, and you've done that pre-qualification, which really only a human can do, because you need to ask quite open questions to get the right responses. You know, one of the questions that I was taught very early on was, what's the most important thing about, you know, what's the most important thing about the property you're looking to buy? And people would often go, oh, because they weren't expecting that. They were asking, they've been so used to, do you want a house or a flat? How many bedrooms? Do you want parking? Blah,
Yeah.
blah. And it was so box ticking. It was unbelievable. But because I asked an open question, you'd get straight down to the nitty gritty. Well, actually, I want this catchment area, or I don't want to be on a main road because I've got six cats. You'd get straight down to what exactly that person was looking for. And we all know that buyers will say they want A, B, and C and end up buying P, Q, and R.
Absolutely.
I'm guilty of doing that. I always said I'd never buy a new build. The last house I bought was a new build.
I said I'd never buy a house built in the 17th century. I live in a house built in the 17th century, and I now
That's where I should be living.
yeah, I now have an electrician, a plumber, and a roofer who pretty much live with us now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
Been there, done that.
walked out today, and pipe had frozen. So excellent. Hooray for old houses. Yes. Not a single
Oh, but they're
wall is
so
straight.
characterful and
They're
lovely.
very characterful. Yeah, I mean, it is. It was
Character building.
quintessential character building as well, and bank account draining. It was quintessentially Christmassy, though. We got beams and stone walls. It was like, what's it called? There's something, the Pickwick Papers. It was like, I felt like a man with a pipe.
Done that show.
I tell you, the property industry troupe is forming. It's forming, performing. The troubadours will be out there treading the boards.
Don't,
Excellent.
don't.
So, obviously, we can't not talk about Glue Dog. So, if you think about Glue Dog's mission and where prop tech is heading, what's the next frontier? I balls that one up, didn't I? There are. Can we edit that out, Toby? I didn't happen.
No, don't keep
Didn't have that.
it in.
So, what's the next frontier of, I wrote this question, so I'm struggling over a question I've written. You did say there were long words. What's the next frontier of integration and automation that you're most excited about? What's coming next that's really getting you excited? And what do you think that
Oh.
means for ages? What are you seeing out there that's kind of like, keep an eye on this, guys?
Oh, that there is so much. It is there is so much,
Give
and
us
I
a top
think
10. Well, what's out there that you kind of think this is coming down the line for the industry and they should really get excited about it? Because, technology is moving at a rate of knots.
well, it so from a Glue Dog point of view, the more companies that get connected, the more agencies that are connected. The more agencies and prop tech we have connected, the quicker the streamlining is going to take place. So things like when you get a chain of nine properties, which doesn't happen very often, but I've had it on a number of occasions, those are the ones that are most likely to fall through. So the more connectivity we have between agents, suppliers, other agents, solicitors, the more connectivity there is, the less likely those things are going to fall through. The more likely things are going to go through much more quickly. And we've started in prop tech because prop tech is where we have our experience. Mark's been in lettings, HMOs, he's got another supplier. I'm from estate agency. It works. We want to make sure that prop tech is A1, but there is so many other boxes that we can start ticking off in the future, which I can't say at the moment, but there's going to be so much more. And having, we've got conveyancers looking at us.
Yes.
How, if you can press a button to do a conveyancing referral, and then all of a sudden you're getting, all those milestones updated. So you're not having to speak to solicitors as much as you might want to from a rapport building kind of way. You can do that through external networking. But from a day-to-day, oh, there's an update. Oh, hi, Mr. Smith. Brilliant news. The searches are back. Done. Nice and easy. It just speeds up the whole process. So the more connected we can all be together, the more innovation, the more collaboration, the faster this industry is going to move from the point of a property going to the market to exchanging and completing. And therefore, agents are going to earn their money much more quickly, but they have to get prepared. They have to be ready for it. And I know there are some agencies out there that don't even have CRMs. They are, unfortunately, will go by the wayside because everyone else is going to be connected and they won't be.
Yeah, and I think you again, what's nice about your answer is you touch on the consumer, the homeowner experience, and that'll drive the market. The delays. I mean, when we did the survey, only 28% of people said they'd experienced no delays, so 72% had.
Yeah.
Most blamed conveyancing, possibly. I think, and to be fair to the conveyancers who may listen to this, is partly because the estate agent blames them.
I think there is
Partly,
that.
partly, partly, partly,
Yeah.
partly.
But there are some amazing conveyancers out
I
there.
agree.
You
I think
know.
that's why I defend them. I think they're brilliant.
No, exactly. And in 6 years, My average time frame for getting a property exchange was 6 weeks.
It
And
can be.
nothing went, nothing was more than 8 weeks. I didn't let it be more than 8 weeks. It was that's the way I did business. But I chased it from my end, and the solicitors I worked with were proactive in chasing as well.
Yeah.
So it's a team effort, and it goes back to that collaboration.
Again, that's why I want to talk to you. You put the pin in it again. It's a team effort. We've got to get away from this. I mean, in various sectors, landlords versus tenants. No. We're just trying to
No.
find people homes, pipe up with investments, and Kate Faulkner, who did the great presentation at our conference, the landlords are not the enemy here. The problem is we've
No.
not built enough social housing. That's the problem.
We sold it all off,
We sold
didn't
it all off.
we?
The PRS is filling a space that the economy needs. It's not conveyances versus estate. It's not buyer versus seller. We've got this real adversarial mindset. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a team effort. I know some of the best agents I've met over the last, it has to be 10 years this April, they have WhatsApp groups for all the people involved in a transaction. So literally, they can talk to everyone and say, actually, it's your conveyancer that's holding things up. Or you haven't done this and you need to sign this document. And that's sort of slightly shaming, but actually, it's to everyone's benefit because no one wants the chain to collapse. That really helps in terms of being a team effort.
Exactly that. And even if people don't want to do that group WhatsApp, if you've just got one agent who basically sales chase the whole chain
Exactly that.
and they just update everybody else, that works as well, because that's what I used to do.
And I
And it
know my
works.
legal friends will say you don't form a WhatsApp because for legal reasons. Yeah. And I respect all those promises. But the best agents have a way of connecting the people they should and can connect to ensure there's no hold up at their end. And I think, Claire Yates, this thing about, the kimono moment, which is, you look and buy this, and then you reveal what's beneath the kimono. It's like we don't share enough information in the process. We need to tell people because if the house isn't right, let's find out now because we prevent it from collapsing in the future. I've gone onto a tangent now. A personal passion of mine is what else is coming down the line? What else? I mean, is there any other? I mean, so for example, this is the thing I saw is we use Monday as our kind of there's Trello, there's other tools like that which manage your workflow. We use Monday. I think Monday, when the last release of ChatGPT came out, lost something like 30% of its market value. Because LLMs can do so much, people are turning to LLMs to replace a lot of the software as services they have, the SaaS things that we have. Do you think we're going to reach a point where LLMs will replace prop tech?
No.
Is that
End
because
of.
the use case is that because the use case is so specific?
I think so, because each case is so specific. When you've got a new build versus a 17th century property, those two properties in itself are going to be completely different. One might not even have a title registered. Then you've got
Oh,
a whole array of fun with that.
yeah.
Then
We
you've
don't
got
have
flying
foundations.
freeholds, which you don't really get anymore. There are so many things that, I remember having a case where there was a right of light with one window and a way of light with another one. And I was like, sorry? And I've literally rang my friendly solicitor saying, what is the difference? And even she had to go and look it up. Right of light? Yeah, absolutely. Way of light? I can't even remember what it was, because I've only had it once in 20 odd years of being an agent. But it was, it's a bit like a right of way and a right of access.
Yes.
Two simple words, but very different rights.
And
And
our
I
house is
think.
only accessible over other people's land. And we got that tightened down very much because they built around it. And it's like, yeah, so that's really important. Okay, so before we close this down, I mean, this is a chance. I mean, I came across Glue.Dog because I think Mark was talking at the RAN conference in 2024. And I am proudly a capitalist. I believe in creative competition and creative friction and destruction, all that kind of stuff. I like there's nothing worse when people get too big because that destroys a market. What I liked about what Mark and you guys were talking about was Glue.Dog is you integrate the existing ecosystem. So all that prop tech can flourish. What Glue.Dog literally is the glue between all this tech. That sounds horrifically expensive, Victoria. So if
Mm.
I run a branch, I'm setting up Victoria, but let me set you up. You deliver the punchline.
Him up, I'm ready to knock it out.
If I run a branch, am I talking 10K, 100K? If I want Glue Dog to come in and sort out my prop tech and get it all integrated seamlessly, assuming that it's tech that is already in the Glue Dog family, which is what percentage of the industry now? CRMs?
We have 28 CRM partners.
Which is a big old percentage, is it not? Okay.
60 plus percent.
Okay, so most bases are covered. What am I on the hook for if I go, you know what, I need to integrate this stuff because my staff are crying out for integration? What does it cost?
£10 a month per branch per integration.
Wow.
It's just we are here to solve one of the biggest issues within the industry. But we don't want to create another issue by overpricing it. So at £10 a month per branch, per integration, it's cheap, it's cheerful, it literally does what it says on the tin. We glue everything together and it works like a dog. Simple.
Wow. So there's no for the amount of money people will be investing in their tech, there's
It's a
literally
drop in the
no
ocean.
reason why. I mean, you know, that if you had 10 prop techs and you had 10 branches, you know, it's still a modest sum relative. It's hold on, 10 branches, 10 pounds, the size of £100 times by 12, £1,200, still less than the average transaction fee.
Yeah.
And I
But
know
it's
Simon
also
Whale
the
again,
time that you're
saints.
saving, the errors that you will reduce because you're not duplicating data all the time. You know, how many times have people ordered something and they've put the wrong details in? Even if it's an AML check or a tenant reference check, if you've put the wrong details in, you've then paid for a tenant reference check or an AML check that you didn't need. So then you have to spend the time redoing those checks. Whereas actually, if you just get everything, press a button, as long as you put it in right the first time, yeah, happy days.
Get it early, guys. I'm going to advise these guys to charge more.
No, it's not our way.
I like your principles. I like your principles. Look, that is absolutely fantastic. You know, I really enjoyed that. You know, and I say, I mean, slightly blew me away what you were talking about when I saw the guys at RAN talking, and it was kind of like that is such a clever solution. But I don't think price was mentioned. So I think you mentioned the price at the conference, and I was a bit like, wow, that is so cheap. I mean, that is
Well,
super cost effective.
I don't think agents realize that, say for example, we've got this 28 CRM partners at the moment. If a supplier was to connect with each of those CRMs, it's going to take 3 to 6 months for each of those integrations to be built. So 28 times 3 to 6 months, you're looking at years of development. With Glue Dog, it's 3 to 6 months and they get up to 28 CRM partners. One lot rather than 28 lots. That's why we can do it.
So, if people want to reach out to you, how do they find you guys?
Gluedog.ai, ironically. Not that we have any AI, but
Hey, it's just
yeah.
riding a trend. It's riding a trend. You got to do it. It's like all those
Exactly.
.io's that came out for a while ago. Everything's a .io. I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, excellent. Look, Victoria, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to continuing this conversation. But hey, anyone listening to this, reach out to the guys. What does a call cost you? And for £10 per branch per integration, help. I'm signing up for these guys. Speak to you
Thanks,
all later.
Simon.
Speak to you later. Take care. Cheers, Victoria. Bye.